and another woman, colored woman. Now, when we got the children's clean, heads and feet and all that stuff, and get the children's clean, you clean it all the day. In the morning, she gonna put them all on, cook them up there to the house. She made all her sauces at her house. While the children's cooking, she fixed the sauces or the head and feet. Tomorrow, when we finish that, get it all cooked and all fixed and everything, then she divided it. Mm-hmm. Give me some, give you some, give her some. All of us at home. Oh, she does.
Everybody
fired them children. I'd have mine in some. You have yours. You sauce this in a pan, so. But you better be sure to take them all back in the morning.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, how'd you keep it cold? And did you go, you just ate it up pretty quick,
at
huh?
Home. Well, I'll tell you how I kept mine cold. Mm-hmm. I would buy ice then. And I had me a tub. I put my ice in that tub and put my food on top of that ice and then wrap that tub up.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I kept it. And then here on the ice box at that end.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I guess and before they had the ice, they just took it and put it all in the smokehouse.
That's right.
Yeah.
I never lost much food. My eat was salted too much. Sometimes I put so much salt on it, I have to soak it out.
That's what he said. You have to boil it out.
Oh, yeah.
You can cook it. Did you make any soap?
Soap.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever have any fat left over to make soap?
Well, no, not from hog killing. I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the woman we worked for, we had to wash them frazzles good and clean. She'd make soap. She'd make a little soap, and she'd give all of us a piece. I think there's about six of us.
Mm-hmm.
And when she got through cleaning hall, it was so clean around there, it didn't look like it'd been no hole killing. Where to scrape them and all that trash, all that hair, it was raked up and burned up.
Yeah, you know, it's not messy like people think, is it?
No, not if you take care of it as you go along.
Yeah, well, when they had the hog hanging up, you know, did they take them and cut the tendons and the hog's feet and run a piece of wood through them, hang them up?
When they hung them up, well, they let them hang there till they got ready to cut them
mm-hmm.
up. And then they had a big table, and they laid that hog on that table.
Mm-hmm.
And they cut. Well, if they filled it up, what they cut up, it was dropped in a tub, a big old tub,
mm-hmm.
or something else. And they salted it up there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it stayed there, I don't know how long, I don't know how many days they left it there. But I know one thing, they would take it out of there sometime and wash it and dry. Wash that salt off. Then they would hang the meat when it drank. Shoulders and ham, middlings, and sauces and all that stuff. It was hung up. Mm-hmm. No mess steel.
Yeah. And they had that old hog hanging up there, you know, draining the,
yes.
drain the blood out of him. Mm-hmm. They dug a ditch under his head.
Mm-hmm.
And so that blood would puddle off.
Mm-hmm.
Just trench down to a ditch. Because you have to keep pouring hot water on him while you're cutting him. Get him clean. Or
well,
cold water. You pour hot water and then you pour cold water.
Uh-huh.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Gotta have cold water.
You've been in hog killing, ain't you?
I believe so.
What's the cold water for?
That's after you get them washed off good, the cold water kind of sets the blood.
I see.
But you know, there's you got to kill that thing right to start with. It took him a long time to shoot that pig. The old dog kept getting in the way. But he had a split rail fence, you know, kind of in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
He said he had them up there about 6 months. He'd been feeding them corn. He said peanuts make soggy fat, but that corn make them hard.
Hmm.
And so he'd been feeding them corn for a long time. He said he had the best corn crop this year he's had in 40 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just Jim Dandy. Really good. He fed them some peas, too.
Hmm.
And he kept them right there until they just got so fat they couldn't walk.
Hmm.
But when he started to kill them, everybody's got to be there before he kills them. He won't kill them. He won't shoot them until everybody's there. And he kept walking round and round trying to get a bead on that old hog. And he shot him right between the eyes. And as soon as he shot him, all the men jumped in there in the pen, so the dogs, to cut the throat. You have to cut him right up here, and they bleed there in the pen. That's the only thing I didn't like too well. It kind of... Everything had been kind of noisy before that. You know, guineas were out there in the hill,
right.
in the field making racket, and the dogs were snorting around. The people were talking, and he shot that pig, and everything was dead still. And here they were just laying there in a pool of blood, kind of twitching, and I didn't like that too well. So I was glad when they started moving them out of the pen. They picked them up, you know, then, and put them over on the table and started washing them off. After they dipped them in and got the hair off of them, they didn't look like pigs anymore, and it wasn't too bad. But I just didn't like the killing. Looked like he was stalking him.
Yeah.
I felt sorry for that old pig.
Well, I got to go.
You know what Miss Daisy's got to do, guys?
She got to put in a wash, see?
Is that right?
That's right. I don't know how he knowed it.
What kind of washing machine do you got?
I don't have one.
You washing it by in the tub?
Just like that.
Got your washboard.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, she got washing machines all around her. They don't do right.
You boil them?
Yes, ma'am.
You know, she did too out there yesterday. Frances did. And those are the whitest claws you ever saw hanging up there on that wire on the porch.
Who there?
Sam can drive, can't she?
Hmm?
Who was that?
That lady, the house yesterday where I was. She had her a boiling bucket out there too. She boiled hers in. That's the only way to get them white, isn't it?
I boiled mine.
Yeah, she boiled. She was boiling hers too. Yeah.
The children, they don't want me to do it. My daughter, she got a washing machine, and she said, "Mama, I wash your clothes." I said, "I don't want you to wash my clothes. Wash them myself." I said, "You put my clothes in your washing machine." I said, "My clothes is weak. Lots of myself when they come out there, they'll be so tore up I can't see how to get them on." I said, "If I wash them, I know how to take care of them."
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's nice meeting you.
I haven't seen you in a long time, Daisy. Good seeing you again.
No, I had about forgot you.
Leave it on.
Just I haven't seen you in so long.
You know, you ironed piles of clothes for me at one time.
Where were you living then?
Over there at the restaurant.
Oh.
Used to have that big old wicker basket. I didn't get rid of it until a couple of years ago.
You didn't.
No, you used to iron that thing full, and you had my dresses so stiff I couldn't sit down in them.
This wasn't that bad.
No,
well,
they look
sure
real good.
Glad to see you.
They look
more.
Real good. Yeah, I always had a hard time trying to measure up to your ironing after that. My things didn't look good like you fixed them. That's when you lived over there on the magnolia tree.
Under the magnolia tree. You know, I loved it, that place. What was that?
Well, that was...
And the lightning struck the tree.
Set your house.
He had to saw it down. Kay hated that. He hated to lose that tree.
It kind of shaded your whole house, didn't it? Your
yes,
yard,
ma'am.
Too.
Yes, ma'am.
I remember.
Well, now you see, it shaded all this side. When the sun got up, well, that kept the shadow coming this way. And the front part of it, snow did get hard.
No, never any grass down there under that tree.
No,
either.
No grass.
There. No grass. And no sunshine.
So you could just practically
sweep
keep that
floor.
Clean with a
dust
broom.
With a dust. With a dust.
With the whisk broom.
Whisk broom, yes.
Straw broom. Mm-hmm. Sweep the yard instead of having to get in and rake it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'd go down that side there. Lake,
mm-hmm.
And break down some of them old goldberry bushes and toss things around, sweep my yard.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
Okay, I'm gonna take care
okay.
of helper.
Oh.
You're gonna have a little help, Miss Daisy.
I'm gonna have a little helper, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Pammy's gonna go help you.
Who?
Pammy.
Nice meeting you, Pam.
You too. Right.
See you, Daisy. Well, these folks did it just like she did it. Just identical stories.
Didn't talk to you either, whisper.
Yeah. But, you know, the way she did, the only difference is in the table. You know, the way they set it up on tables, they had it on croaker sacks. This old man had the same old tables. You could tell they had been used for years. They were just, you just had cuts all in the top of them, like a butcher's block.
Mm-hmm.
Scarred. But they were just as plain looking as they could
now,
be.
Now, you know, it's curious, Saint Florence. I felt at home when they were here. But now when you sort of leveled off, I just felt at home. That's the way I used to feel when I went up to talk to Phil and Mabel. Just as soon as I got there, all the burdens had rolled off. That's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Just everything they said just pleased me.
Well, that's good.
Yes, sir. And I knew it. And I knew it wouldn't last forever. It was never, that was the end of it. There's no place like it anymore. You know, I could find places, but I mean, there's none. I haven't got it right now. Now, everything up there was something to think about, wasn't it?
Everything.
And the old chimney was way off from the house.
Mm-hmm.
They do that, you see. The house moves and the chimneys can move too a little. I've seen that. Very common. And that's the reason, you know, so many of the old houses don't last. You see, they'll get a crack.
Mm-hmm.
And the spark will get out. And burn the house down.
Mm-hmm.
The house I used to live in, when I was living there, it was called the old dormitory. It was brick and it was almost three stories. And we put the fire out several times. One time we called the fire department, it had started blazing up there, but I had it out before they got there. But and had wooden shingles, you see.
That's the way that one. It was really an old, old, old house.
Mm-hmm.
Very much like the one Daisy used to live in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that old. And it was, well, I guess, you know, people would say, gee, it's an old shack. But to me, it was an old house. but just like the outbuildings, you know, it was an old, very narrow, high-pitched barn with a crib on the side with a bunch of corn chucks around out and where the old donkey was. And then there was another old outbuilding here. There were the shingles on the roof just leaning to the side. It looks like a puff of wind would come along, but you know it's been through two or three hurricanes. And then in the back of the house, there was that little smokehouse. Very low roof and just boards. The boards were wide in it most of the time. That was a long time before tongue and groove. Just big, wide, rough boards all over, just like the same way they were in the house. The board floor, same way. Not even anywhere either. You know, just, you've seen an old table or an old butcher's block, you know, where it's been washed so many times, it's sort of gray and slick. That's the way the floor was. Just been there that long. And then he had a great big old grape arbor back in his house. He had to go through that way to get to his outdoor John, as he called it, out there.
Oh, well, I've seen those grape arbors. I've seen all kinds of them. And they go way back, way back. They go back to the 10th century, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
One of my relatives had just one vine, and it ran 100 feet. And he pruned it back, you see, to where there were just little things on it, all the length of it. It didn't leave much vine on it.
Well, that one was as big as the house, you know, floor-wise, it was this big, great big thing.
Uh-huh.
And he had a old bull hog out there. It was the biggest thing I've ever seen in my life. It was as big as your bull cows.
Oh, they do get big.
He was tremendous. He must have weighed 600 pounds, 500 or 600 pounds. Tremendous thing. Say he was a mean critter.
He had to raise some corn, keep that thing going.
He had a ground all harrowed, ready to plant again. So he planted things to feed the chickens. It was pretty self-sustaining farm. They ate what, that's about all they had. She doesn't even get to the store. He does the shopping. And she hardly ever gets out of there. And they don't even get into Gainesville more than a couple, every two or three years. They shop at a little store up there. But no excursions out of there. They just stay there. Had a lot of greens, had mustards, great big patch of mustards out there. And she had in the smokehouse, she had a couple of shells in the back of it, and tomatoes and peas and beans. She had her vegetables all put up in there. It's just like they use their lard for the biscuits, and I'm sure they eat a pile of those. You can tell I hardly ever see that much salt out at one time and flour out at one time. And that's it. No special foods.
I ate over at Miss Mary's the other day. That day I was telling you about it, where the wind was blowing so hard. And you know, I just sat there and ate the chicken dish the way she cooked it, and the biscuits the way she cooked it, and that flour gravy the way she cooked it. And I just felt like I hadn't had any food.
Good, wasn't it?
For so long.
That was delicious the other day. Couldn't have been any better.
Yeah.
Great big tableful. He tickled me when we sat down.
Everything Miss Mary had was food.
Solid food.
You could taste it.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like something when you swallowed it.
Well, that Dewey was sort of like a volcano all the time going off, you know. He's so dynamic that you'd expect him. As Dow said, it looked like he forever had a big knife in his hand around out there, and you better felt like he's supposed to be moving anyway. Because you kind of expect him to jump and say, ha! Or either to duel with you any minute. You know, he's just all geared up like that. And the same way when he came to the table. He sat down at the table, you know, sit. And he says, every mouthful you eat's one less for me, so don't eat too much, because this is the last meal I'll have like that this year. That's what he told those kids. Now, Brent's sitting over there pinned to the wall and his eyes as big as saucers.
You've never seen that before.
No, I don't think he knew whether he better eat at all or not. And I took a lemon pie over there in a casserole. And Louise, his niece, was cutting it. And she says, how big a piece you want, dude? And he said, well, about as big as you have at your house. Look, about the same size you have at your house. And Lou's son, T.C., said, there are no small pieces at our house. So she cut him about a good third of that pie, put it on his plate, and Lou had brought some Jell-O, and so he piled Jell-O up on top of that, dove in. He tasted that pie, and he said, this is too rich for a poor man. But he ate it anyway. We went right on back out to work. He could put the food away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think those boys didn't know whether to believe him or not. They all of them lined up across the table from him. But he had things going at the table just like he did out in the yard. He didn't go out and take a nap either. He went right back out there to work. He had me out there grinding sausage. His dad said, when he left the table, he expected you to be through too, whether you were or not. And dad said, I was grabbing my pies and went out the door. But he didn't say anything to him. It's just that he commanded it by his presence, you know. He was afraid you better.
Yeah.
You're not to move.
Yeah.
But he wasn't really hostile, you know. He had a sense of humor. Just big tease. Big tease, but you just knew you better move. That's the women folks kind of sneaked in after he got through to eat theirs. He and all the boys ate first. I ate with them.
With Dewey?
Uh-huh. And then I went on out after that and helped him start on the sausage. And he had this great big old, he don't want any fat in his sausage. It's so lean. You, in fact, have to have grease on the get it to fry.
Well, how come that?
That's the way he likes it.
Always?
Yeah, so he made us cut all the fat off. And he had the leanest sausage meat. You take the odd pieces and you cut all that lean off and cut it in pieces. And we had he weighed it up, it was 50 pounds there, and he had one sack of mix, and he said nothing in this though. You know, it was that pre-packaged. Nothing in this but salt, and salt's no good. But he had his own mix that he was going to put in it. And after he poured that one sack in, he had these boxes of that real hot red pepper. And he put one in, and he says, now that's mild. And then he put two more boxes in. And the way he talks to that fellow that was mixing it with him, who was real quiet, mild-mannered fellow, he says, you mix hell out of that pork or I'll kill you. That's just the way he talks.
He wanted to get that pepper all the way through.
Yeah, and so that fellow started mixing that sausage up. And I was tamping it through, you know, while it was going through. Pretty soon he grabbed me a hand. He said, go fry it, stink. Bring me a piece. And so I went in and found this skillet. Frances helped me find it. And I said, that's a pretty nifty skillet. And she said, it's about 200 years old. And I had never seen one like it, iron skillet, flat one. And anyway, I fried it up and took it out, and I swear that was the hottest sausage. It would have given you heartburn for a month. And he says, not too hot, is it, stink? I said, well, I'd have to eat a pile of grits for it. And he says, that's all right. But this other relative and one of the women were kind of trying to talk him into reducing it a little bit, and they said, you know, dude, we could put some more of this beef in here, this pork in here, and it wouldn't be quite so, you know, it might be better. Extend it a little bit, that's what they put, not too hot, but extend it a little bit. No, just right.
We used to do that, Florence. They'd cook it, they wouldn't put any pepper, they'd put some pepper in it, very little.
Sage?
Pepper, hot pepper.
But they put sage in it.
Red pepper, no. And then when they fried it, when they cooked it,
mm-hmm.
they put extra on some of it, and see, the ones
well,
who liked it.
I kind of asked one of them about that. I said, why can't Dewey let, Frances didn't like it hot. But she's good-natured about it. You know, she said, well, Dewey just likes it hot. And I guess she just leaves it alone. But I said, why can't we just put some aside for Frances? And he says, nope, Dewey likes it that way. And so what he likes, you did. That's about it. No one had any grumbles about it. You just accepted the fact that you did it his way. The whole thing. All the way.
Well, that's, I don't believe that would be the common way. I think that it'd be more commonplace, I mean, back in those days, to do just a little pepper and then put more if you wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I tell you the truth. I quit eating red pepper a long time ago, but I just love this stuff. I just love to eat a piece of sausage and have my mouth burn.
Well, I ought to bring you a piece of this, because, boy, it will burn you up.
Well, I quit it. And I just love to be Mexican, you see, where you have all that hot red pepper and all
mm-hmm.
you do, and just cook with the red pepper.
Dal likes it hot. He and Beattie. Mm-hmm. I can't quite take it. Beattie's kind of he'll eat that hot stuff and make himself sick and not say a word. He enjoyed himself so much when he was eating, he never complained.
Yes, that's right. Now that's the way it ought to be. You just go ahead and get sick for a day or two. It don't matter.
Frances said she ate some of that. It made her sick. She called Dewey and she said, bring me a cold rag. And he said, what's wrong with you? And she said, what is the name of that pepper? And that sausage. So I don't think she's going to eat any more of it. One thing about it, you sure wouldn't have any worms in you after you got through with that.
Mm-hmm.
Burn them all out. Mm. Something else.
And the dogs were fat. They hadn't run.
They were so big and round and firm, you hardly ever
just like
see dogs like that. Just like the hogs.
How about the mule?
Mule was fat.
He fed.
He fed them. Mm-hmm. Fed them well.
Yes.
But the best mannered dogs, you know, they weren't snatchy or anything. They didn't.
He doesn't have any help?
No help. He does it all himself. I think he's had a hard life. He's tried to do it all, you know, keep up himself. And I got tickled at Frances. He had cancer in his face. Had a hole in it there. You know, big scar on the side of his face. And other than that, he survived it. And I guess he, you know, has a fair amount of, he's strong. Strong. He's not much taller than I am. Look me straight in the eye.
Oh, really?
Just as square and lean as he can be. Not skinny.
Yeah.
But lean. No bay window on him.
And square.
And just as square as could be. Just absolutely. And he, you could tell, was, you know, used to hard manual work. Frances was telling on him in there, and she says, yeah, there's one time he was out there just a crying and a praying and shouting, wondering why he had lived a good life and why all that trouble had descended on him. So evidently once in a while he got upset. The only time I could see that he wasn't really passing everybody else up in what he was doing. Really, you know, he had more push and vigor. Just like when he cut those ribs, he had a little old knife. He had put a cloth around it. But to cut through that rib, take a lot of strength. Dal said he didn't think he could have done it. But the only time you'd see him kind of a little upset was he had his hands would, he must have had a little arthritis in them or something, and they would freeze up on him. You know, that cutting, that steady cutting, or either just when you'd have to clamp it too tight, and you could see him, you know, rubbing it, and it would just lock on him. But that's the only thing. Other than that, he and one of them, well, a couple of fellas lifted that 250-pound hog and hung him up. You got to be strong. Move that thing around. But he cut through that. He cut just like a surgeon. No wasted movement. Left-handed. I said, yeah. I said, Dewey, I didn't know you were left-handed. He said, yes, I'm left-handed and back-ass. Just about the way he would answer you. But, you know, you're not going to get by him at all. But his conversation was really rough the whole time. But you didn't consider it vulgar. It was part of him.
Yeah.
It was part of him. And the children took no offense to it. None at all. Cuss them out, and they just sit there and grin.
No, it's just the way of life.
So it's just the way of life with him. But he just, yeah, and in his secondhand way, you know, he was good-natured. Just him. And he, no doubt, you kind of had a feeling that he was sort of tackling life, you know? It wasn't going to beat him. He's going to beat it. No matter what. Just like that with a mule, you know? The two of them just live there all by themselves, and they just subsist. Or think they do more than exist. They both seem happy people. And the whole time, neither one of them really had any sad songs. You know, like some people do about my hard life. Not any of that. Not like even Daisy. They never said that hog killing was hard work, particularly. One time, Francis said, it's the 365 days a year that's hard before you get to the killing.
Yeah.
Because you've got to raise all that food that feeds the hogs. And take care of the hogs, you know. Evidently, that's what she considers is more of the work than the hog killing itself. The hog killing itself is a party to her and
yeah.
to him, too.
Yeah.
And not hard work like it was for Daisy. Maybe it's because she was one of... Well, they're workers. They work just as hard as anybody. But I think they like the occasion of the relatives coming.
She did, too. That's that's just her manner of speaking.
Just her manner of speaking.
Yeah.
Because I think he'd kill hogs just to have the
you
affair.
You see, a lot of the time, if I don't watch out, she'll moralize.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of getting...
Subject.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that means.
But,
oh, no, she loved that.
But you could tell for him it was just better than Christmas.
Yes, you could tell for her it was too. You see, she was talking to you about, she wasn't talking about killing hogs here. She just lets that go.
Mm-hmm.
She's still killing hogs up in Georgia.
I know she says, like, tomorrow I will do so and so. It's in the present tense.
Yeah.
I noticed that when she was speaking of what she was doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, she was just going through cleaning those old chitlins just the
oh,
same
yeah.
as ever. That's
yeah.
one of the jobs they don't like. Everybody runs away from cleaning the chitlins.
Well, they make her say so, let you see.
That's
yeah.
the one thing. The women didn't mind. They had three of them out there cleaning the chitlins because they were talking. They were busy talking. They were having so much fun visiting that they didn't care.
You didn't get in on that.
I went from... all parts of it. I kind of go spend a little time. There was one table over in, you know, one corner of the yard. I stuck with the butchering on through the first hog all the way. And then I went on over to where the chitlin table was so I could see how that was done. And then when they were beginning to get the, do most of the carving of the, they had to move the one of the pigs into the shade. And they moved it over close into the yard and close to the smokehouse, you know. And when they did over into that cool area and just started to work on that, well, I went in to see what Francis was doing. So I actually moved around, and then I checked in with Francis later on when she was cutting up the Haslett stew for lunch. So I was in the kitchen very early in the morning when she was baking her bread. She doesn't do like we do and try to make the bread come out with lunch. You cook the cornbread early and the sweet potatoes early in the morning and put them up on the shelf. You know, you just accept that it's cold cornbread. And then she went out and cut up the stew.
I can't remember about that. You see, at that time, I wouldn't notice it. It seems like all the biscuits I ate were hot out of the oven. I'm certain they weren't. And Miss Guthrie cooks her biscuits and sets them aside.
Mm-hmm.
And one time, she had them warm and put them in there, and I covered them up. Well, Marvin took that cover off ceremoniously. And all my bread here, we eat it warm, you see. We take it up, put it much at the right time, and then I keep it covered up. You can do that. It's very, very easy. And you make toast.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy to keep it covered and it'll hold the heat a long time. So, I guess a great deal of the bread we ate was cold.
Well, when she put on the plate, you know, the biscuits had all been touching each other, so that they sort of clung together. And rather than separating them onto the plate, they weren't even put right side up. They were clung together. One pan was dumped on the plate, and another one dumped on top of it. And when you got through, instead of clearing it all away before supper and putting it up, you put it in the middle of the table. And just got a cloth over it and covered it up.
That was common, yes. We did that, a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. But the food was really very tasty. Especially those ribs. I'd never had ribs 2 hours old for lunch in my life, I'll tell you.
Mm.
I'd never had pork 2 hours old for lunch in my life.
Yeah.
No, it was delicious. Yeah.
You mean it's something, the fresh pork?
It tastes different.
Yeah.
Tastes different.
I can understand
it. You know, he cut a piece of that liver off, and he handed it to Lou, and he said, "Now, this piece of liver is mine for lunch." And he wanted that one special piece cut and floured and onioned for lunch.
Oh.
And we had that, too. Fresh liver. I was telling him I'd never had pork for lunch that I'd just seen killed an hour or two before. Talking about fresh. I guess some people wouldn't be able to stomach that too well, would they? I noticed Brent had a little trouble eating it. But
well,
Dad didn't.
He wouldn't be used to it.
No, Dad took it in. He is old. Dewey said that you sure need that hog lard too to fry anything in. But nothing tastes good in that new kind of fat they eat. I don't think he'd have anything. That's what some of them said. You talk about this cholesterol all the time, and here these two eat hog lard biscuits every day of their life. And that man could outwork a lot of 25-year-olds, I know. In strength, you know. You know, he'd been going since daylight, and he'd been loading all that wood up and those buckets and buckets of water the day before.
Yeah.
And all I can say is I was shot by 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And Frances was 75. And she worked steady.
She didn't let on.
No.
She did her hair up.
Oh, she had a real costume on. All of them did. When I went up there, they were all standing around the pot. I picked Frances out without ever knowing her. She had on a plaid wool scarf over her head and a dress over her pants and semi-high heels on and an apron that went all the way around her and back again. Great big apron. She was ready to work.
Mm-hmm.
And all the rest of the women were dressed similar, but she had the most colorful costume on. As far as those little high heel shoes on those long breeches, the dress came almost all the way down the top of her shoes, so just barely see the trousers underneath and the coat. And the rest of the women all had their bandanas on And I don't know if you've ever noticed or not, but some of these country women have kind of a blob shape to them. They just look kind of round and like a little blob. They're not big in the shoulders. They're all round, round the middle. And when they stand, if they're standing, they'll either be standing with their arms like this or they'll all be standing with their hands in front of them. You ever watch them?
No.
You walk up and it looked like three women from the Ukraine standing there. They're all kind of blobby. All similar ages. All except the one that was about my age, friend that invited me. All the rest of them were old. I'd say late 60s, 70.
Your friend?
Oh, yeah. She was. She's a big gal. She's bigger than Carl. She looked down at him. And she was out there wrestling that pig, just like a man.
Oh.
She and Dewey have butchered one before, with little help other than Francis.
Oh.
And she had her son out there, T.C. Well, T.C.'s young. He's 22. He goes to Santa Fe Junior College. And he's right in there. He's a cripple boy. Had polio when he was little. But big and strong. And so Lou and this other man and T.C. and Dewey are the ones that handle those pigs. Dow helped them hang them. But it takes one on each foot. And she can dip that pig in there just like anybody else. Pull that hair off. So was T.C. He wasn't the least bit backward about it. He'd been doing it ever since he was 10 years old or younger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She said T.C. would move out there and live with him. They'd let him. Said one time, he can't see too well. And T.C. was just 13 and Dewey insisted that Lou let T.C. come out there and live with him so he could drive him around. And she said, but Dewey, he can't drive because he doesn't have a license. He says, if I say he can't even drive, that's about it, too.
Out there.
You know the moon's going to rise. If he says it's going to rise, it's going to rise.
Out there, rise.
that's about the way it was.
Yeah.
But T.C. loves to go out there. He wouldn't miss it for anything in the world. Come sit down there and clean those pig feet. This is good.
Yeah.
After you get all the hair off, you've got to take a knife and scrape it and get the hairs out, and especially around the head and around the feet. I finished that off, but he just goes about it just like he had been doing it for years. I'm sure he could probably do it by himself if he had to now. Except that butchering take is an art, to knowing just what to throw away. I think you'd have to do quite a bit of it to be good at it. If Dow said that's an art, it's a real art. So we had pretty good help. One little boy there from Jacksonville was right in there too. He and Brent, all of them, cutting meat and have to get a, you know, run after hacksaws and because you have to saw some pieces.
Faye used to say that every night. She says the city people are better country people than some of these country people are. And she thought about Flo Richardson's girls.
Mm-hmm.
They're not country girls at all. Just like they were living in the suburbs. Now, that little Bassetta girl, I don't guess you know her, little black Italian girl, she came out here Sunday afternoon and brought her mama. And I don't know what she does, but she got a job at Miami Beach, and her mama's sister, and she lives in New York, and they came out here, and I had to leave, but I took them on a little trip. I went out and gave the cows a handout.
Mm-hmm.
And they got out of their little car, and that awful wind is hard on them, you see. They weren't used to it. And they just took in everything. When they got out there where the cows were, I called them and the cows wouldn't come because they had visitors, you see. And they're not afraid of people, but they, well, you see, the lady from New York had on a light colored shawl or scarf like that. You see, you could see her all the way through the woods. And they were going like me. They were calling the cow just like me. Well, it just scared the cows off. But they were having so much fun, I didn't think it mattered. They just picked it right up. Mm-hmm. And you bring a lot of country people to, they can't stand it.
Yeah, well, I was real pleased that the boys, I didn't have to tell them, you know, they were running hot water. You have to keep the water running the whole time, filling up the pots and pumping, of course, pumping. So I think Brent and that other little boy probably pumped water in their sleep last night. That was their job, just pumping water. I guess it keep them out of trouble anyway.
Well, that
Hand pump.
Pitcher pump.
Oh. Pitcher pump. And when you've got gallons of water to use, it's a lot of pumping. Take both, just like grinding sausage by hand. You grind till your arm falls off. He must have done an awful lot of pumping yesterday because there were two, I'd say, 60-gallon vats full of water.
Yeah.
And about five of those big wash tubs full out where we were dipping them. And then there was a wash pot full up near the house. And that's where she boiled stuff. I think that's where she was going to make her lard. That was full of water, too. And then there were a couple of tubs of water over where the chitlins were. A lot of water.
that was already drawn when
already drawn when we got there, and the fires were underneath the kettles, and you could see the turpentine floating around on top. And ready to dip them. It was all ready to dip when we got there. Yeah, I'm sorry you weren't there.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I don't mind that. I see more through your eyes since I've been there. But I tell you what, I would like. I want to talk. I want to hear him talk. And Francis and Dewey, both of them. I just loved him talk. Now, here's the thing. I don't know how much they talk. You see, what they do is just second nature to them. And that food they eat, I never realized just how satisfying good food is. It just makes you stay right in front of your own fireplace, or right on your own place.
Mm-hmm.
You're not nervous. You have no urge to go.
They don't seem to care.
Good food. Now, I never realized that. But good food will just about keep you at home and satisfy you.
You're about right there, because I remember when you tell me about that story going back and forth to Jacksonville. He said he nearly starved to death when he was working up there, because he was on the road going to Jacksonville, on the road coming back, and all the stores were closed. He nearly starved to death, and the government got his money, so he just sent home. Raise his own, and he mentioned that. He said when he's growing up, it was sometimes hard to have meat, and during that time, during the war, you know, he didn't have meat. He said if he ever got through there, he's going to raise him enough meat to have meat on his table every day. And he says, and I sure nearly done it, having my Sam. He sure did. You're right there, because that was one of his aspirations, was to have meat on the table. Remember him telling me.
That little article of Trillings on Sherwood Anderson, and it brings up that world of back before the war, and it's as you think of it now, a very simple world, and that's an awfully nice little article. Awfully nice little article that Trilling wrote on Anderson's world. But now, there's one thing I remember. This is not in it. But I remember that, you see, you had all that good food. Good pork sausage with seasoning, with old-fashioned fiery red pepper, and biscuits made with lard, and black coffee, just as black as you wanted it. And you know, they used to let it set in the pot and warm it up.
I didn't.
With the ground in it, you see.
Not with the ground in.
So, you see, that was such content. And then on top of that, you thought anyone in this country can be president of the United States. There was always that promise. Mm-hmm. Now you weren't working yourself up to where you could enjoy that promise or ever reach it. Somehow it was just there to look at, that promise. And I have very strong recollections of that. It was a great satisfaction. Yeah. Great satisfaction.
Well, I'm going to have to ride on account I got to pick up kids right away. Listen, Dale asked me if he could report to you. He is so excited about this, he can understand it.
In the morning, what time he
well,
get off?
Well, he's in school. He there was any time this weekend or Thursday afternoon when I take Carla down to see Miss Dixon. He wants to tell you
well,
about
you bring him by Thursday afternoon.
He didn't miss a trick. He didn't miss a trick. He's a good storyteller, that Dale. He stayed around Tuck Mac so long. He just tells them just like Tuck.
Yeah.
And he was just taken by it all. He didn't miss much at all. He'd give you a different point of view.
Oh, yes.
Well, that'd be fine.
But he said, he asked me, and he says, can I go talk to Guy? And so I went, hey, he could. But he's so excited about that. He just practiced floating last night.
Isn't that marvelous?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
well,
good to see you.
This is more exciting than the trip. Channel 2 right, round 850, 900, and the end of the visit was Florence. This Wednesday, the 23rd of February, 72. Channel 2 right, round 850, and the end of the visit was Florence. Miss Daisy went home half an hour ago, and Pam is out with them. This Wednesday, the 23rd of February, 72. Channel 2 right, and the end of the visit was Florence. This Wednesday morning, the 23rd of February, 72.